Day, yeah.
And his company, not him personally, but the company that he...
Okay, oh, sorry, yep, still talking, and talking. Ooh, a retreat up there. Truth be told, I was terrified. I was terrified as I stood there. I was a 14-year-old young man. Just curious, do we have any 14-year-olds in the audience today? All right, good, good. Some adults feel like 14-year-olds. That's great. I was 14 years old, and I was a shy young man. I know that's probably hard for some of you to imagine. I did not like getting up in front of people. And, I opened up my Bible, this one actually, to preach my first sermon. I had been coerced, tricked, pushed, maybe, I don't know, by a gentleman of Charlie Hornick. Some of you know him as Pastor Charlie, a dear man who threw me into what I thought was the lion's den that evening and had me preach a sermon. Knees knocking, mouth dry, terrified, I stood there, 14 years old, and from this Bible, I read the following passage. I'm going to probably read it this morning with a little less shaky voice than I did that night, as I stood there at the Denver Rescue Mission, preaching to an audience that terrified me. Here's what I read. In John chapter 10, it says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he comes, the wolf sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down in accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. I preached that message that day. I highlighted it in my Bible. I highlight a little differently now, but, and I wrote down my first sermon at the rescue mission, having no clue how many sermons I would preach after that. That message, I shared about the Good Shepherd. That message, I gave a salvation message. And it was rough. It was very unrefined. It is not the way I speak now, but it was heartfelt. It truly was. This morning, briefly, I want to share with you a journey through time. Back in 1990, this man, Charlie Hornick, who was influential in my life, very much so a Paul and I, his Timothy, as this relationship would grow. But at that time, I was a young man, cocky and sarcastic. I know that's hard to believe too, right? But in 1990, he said, "Jed, we are planting a church in Colorado in a town called Parachute." And I remember this conversation because it's one of the times I remember Charlie getting strict with me. Because I made a sarcastic comment about planting churches and how do you plant a church? Do you get a hoe and start, you know? He didn't find that funny, and he lectured me on the importance of planting churches. I remember that. And he said, "Jed, I want you to pray." I was a young kid, but I prayed because I respected the man. In 1993, I gave my first sermon. Boy, did I pray for that, because I was terrified. And, you know, I had not heard the idea that Doc Coleman shared with you about just picture everybody in their underwear. I didn't do that. I just pictured everybody staring at me. And it was terrifying. In the year 2000, guess what? I was asked to pray again because this church plant that was occurring over in Parachute was going to be building a building. I'm like, wow, that's cool. It took them long enough, but, you know, that's great. So I was praying for this building process. In 2002, I was asked again to pray for this church plant in Parachute. I had never seen Parachute, by the way, but I was praying because he told me to. And in 2002, I prayed because this church needed a pastor. Over the course of the next year, and in 2003, he said, "Pray for me as I consider going to be the pastor there." By this time, I understood that seriousness, and I prayed harder. It would be in 2007 that there was a praise and prayer as we would come and visit this church. This was the first time to visit this church, and the church was considering, and they took my wife and I on as missionaries. In 2007, we got to meet this church, and it was such a blessing. And as time would go on, we would grow to love this valley and the people. And in 2011, I found myself once again praying as we considered to come as the associate pastor, which would occur October of that year. I found myself fervent in prayer once again in 2014, 2015, as I would consider and pursue transitioning from an associate to the senior pastor here. I remember that day that occurred. It was that day that Charlie preached an amazing message, at least in my eyes. And then he had me come up, and if any of you have ever felt one of these running batons, it was kind of funny. I said, "Well, feel how heavy this is." I handed it to Mark Groves, and he grabbed it. He thought it was going to be heavy, and it's light as a feather. But I remember that day. as it was passed. From one shepherd to another. I remember how heavy this felt. It was a good heavy, but it was heavy. There was a burden that was there, presented as I would shepherd this flock. I remember it. I keep that on my shelf. I love shepherding this church. This family is so dear. And 1993 is highlighted for you on there because of a commitment. In this Bible, it's one of the few Bibles I will probably strive not to give away because of the significance of it. But if God told me to, I would. I wrote in the front of it, as you can see up there, a promise. At age 15. A promise to commit to doing the Lord's work full time with my life. That promise and that commitment would dictate many choices that would come down the road. Today, as we're looking at the letter that Peter wrote to multiple churches, there was a moment in Peter's life, I believe, was as pivotal as that night that I committed to the Lord to serve Him full time. Regardless. Peter would have a conversation with Jesus. Many have labeled this passage various things. But in John 21, we have record of that conversation. It begins in verse 15. It says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again, a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" We won't get into the details of that passage, but I believe that that passage, that time, point in time, was pivotal for Peter. As Jesus three times told him, "Tend to my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend to my sheep." As we look at Peter today, there's an introduction. Just listen to it. Keep needing these, sorry. There's an introduction that is important for us to understand in this letter. The letter begins this way: Peter, an apostle of Jesus. The words aren't on the screen there. You can go back to the other slide. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. I take you to the beginning of the letter to let you understand that this letter was not to a particular church like some of the epistles that we read and go through were. This letter was scattered abroad. It was written to numerous churches, numerous followers of Jesus Christ, and they would read the words that Peter would have for the churches. I love that. Peter intended this letter to be known and understood by all. And even for us today, I'd encourage you, this is a great letter. Read the letter of 1 Peter when you go home today. It doesn't take that much time. But for sake of time, we won't read it this morning. We'll read part of it. But as Peter writes this letter, he is sharing from a pastor's heart. With the mindset of a shepherd giving the direction and directives of Jesus Christ, his Savior. Peter's also writing this with authority. And I bring the authority into account because when we are reading this, we are not merely reading a letter Peter thought would be great to send to the churches, but we are reading the very Word of God. And he writes with the authority of an apostle. But he doesn't lord it over them. At the close of this letter, and where we'll focus today, Peter addresses a particular group within the church. There's no separate private letter. There's not an executive session where this group goes and has this information given privately. It's part of the letter that would be read out loud in a public forum, and the entire church would hear what was said as Peter addresses the elders. The elders of the church. I would ask that your elders that are here in attendance this morning stand up as I read this. This is what Peter writes in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. May the Lord add a blessing to his word there. Thank you, men. It's truly an honor to serve with the other elders, with the other shepherds at this church. It truly is. And there's a strong message in this letter to elders, and we're going to look at it in the time that we have remaining. But Peter uses the word exhort. I like big words like that. They just hold so much. But what Peter is expressing here is there is an urgency. There is a priority. There is a strong appeal here that he is putting forth. There is an urgent message. And it's urgent, especially due to the suffering that the church is going through. The church was going through some very difficult times. And let's be honest, the church is not a building, it's not an institution, it's people. And when there is a group of people, there is a segment at all times, I feel, that is going through difficult times. And so it's practical. But as he charges them, he is charging elders, plural. I appreciate that so much. Because I get to serve alongside other men who have a heart for the Lord and have a heart for his people. I am not the only shepherd this church has. We have multiples. And it's biblical. But then he says, the sheep among you. I want you to understand that your elders, your shepherds, are sheep as well. This time of sabbatical was such a blessing. Because as we are shepherds to sheep, we're sheep, and really sometimes all we feel like is we're other sheep with bells on saying, follow us, and we are praying daily on our knees, oh God, don't let us screw up. But during the sabbatical, I got to feel a little more like a sheep than a shepherd. It was a blessing. I was able on a weekly basis to, on a Sunday morning, just be ministered to. Poured into from God's Word and just allow that process. That is an amazing feeling. When I take vacation, I can't wait to go to church and worship with other believers. And sometimes I do it even here just to come and worship and be fed and ministered. And all this summer we had men here, our elders and other men, ministering and pouring into our church family. What a blessing. But there was real life that occurred too. Did you know that your shepherds, your elders, experience real life? It's amazing. We sent one of our sons off to college. We had a daughter that turned 16. That's scary. We had two boys at home by themselves much of the summer, and they can cook. I know. Joseph is quite the griller, I'm telling you, you know. But, you know, I had the opportunity to engage with the community. I went and fought a wildland fire this summer. That was kind of cool, but I'm grateful it didn't do damage there. I read some really cool books. I read the Bible too, but you know, I read some cool books here. You know, How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy. I mean, that was a good book. It's a good book. You should really do it. You know, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Oh, that was good. I mean, the title was convicting enough. You know, Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome Mat Out. Whew. Yeah, the first chapter says, you're fired. I mean, but, you know, I read Vital Signs of a Healthy Pastor and Vital Signs of a Healthy Church. There was some amazing books that I got to just engage in this summer, and it was really cool. I spent time and caught up with my bride. I mean, these last 2 weeks, pray for her. These last 2 weeks have been a shock for her system. She's like, where are you? You know, And we actually enjoy time with each other. It's a blessing. And we had fun. We really did. We did not grow tired of each other. And Peter is addressing these elders as a fellow elder. He understands that there's normal life that they're dealing with. But they're also leading others in their normal lives. Rejoicing with them, crying with them, giving counsel. I will tell you, one of the scariest things I do is give counsel to something I haven't walked through in life. And I go to God's Word and I give the best direction I can from His Word, because He is wise, He is discerning. So pray for us as we enter new stages of life, because we're figuring it out too. But Peter wrote these words inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he challenges the elders to have that relationship with Christ. He shares about his own personal experience with Jesus Christ. The sufferings, the joys, the glories. He says, "Know Jesus." And share in His glories. But the urgent message is, elders, shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. Shepherding. Peter charges them in this. The shepherd the sheep among you. I appreciate that it is not our responsibilities as elders and as shepherds to shepherd every Christian out there. God has said there is a responsibility for the sheep here, and I've entrusted them. And that word shepherding is a verb. It is an action. There are things that we are to do. And before I get into some of those things, I just want to make some quick observations. Without going all over the scriptures, most of us in here can quote the 23rd Psalm, can we not? And verse 1 is this way, "The Lord is my shepherd." Pause. We say that so just, there's comfort in that, isn't it? Do you realize that means we are His? There is ownership. We belong to Him. We are His sheep. He's our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And as elders, we are under shepherds. We serve under Him. And Peter emphasizes here, there is an oversight. That's terrifying to me. An oversight. There's a responsibility here for caring, for ministering, being responsible. Do you realize that the men that stood up, and there's two that couldn't make it here today, two. We're responsible as under shepherds. That is terrifying. Pastors are to be overseers, not overlords. And there is a difference. One, the overseer is out of care, compassion, concern. Overlord is, well, it's just beating the sheep. We read in John 10, that wonderful sermon I gave at 14, right? About the good shepherd. Willing to even lay down his life. And that's the example that we are given to follow. And then Peter goes and says, "You shepherds, lead, be an example." One of the scariest things is to tell you guys to watch my life, watch my parenting, watch my marriage, watch how I talk in public, watch how I treat people who offend me. Watch that and follow my example. That terrifies me. And all the more, I have to keep my eyes fixed on the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. Because if I do not, then I will lead you astray. Peter says, don't lord it over them. I imagine he probably remembered back to a conversation, Luke records it in chapter 22, where the disciples are following behind Jesus. And have you ever been driving somewhere and you hear the conversation from the back seat with your kids? And you're listening and eventually you just have to say something. I imagine it was something like that because they're back there trying to, you know, convince each other who is the greatest. Who will sit on the right hand and the left hand? And they're just going back and forth. And Jesus pulls the car over, figuratively, and he says, enough! The one here who is the least will be first. Well, that just shattered all their theories right there. The one who acts as a servant, who is humble, will be the greatest in my kingdom. And Peter, being one of them, well, we were really not that humble in that conversation. And then the awkward walk as they continued on. But you know what? We had a chief shepherd who exampled this for us. It would be Jesus that took the servant's apron and would wrap it around his waist and wash their feet. It was Jesus who would leave the glory of heaven to come and die on a cross for your sin and mine. That is service. That is humility. When he came, he deserved to be worshiped, served, lifted up. Shepherds, I've seen them, I've known them that serve with false motives. Their only care is to devour the sheep, get everything they can from them, and move on. That is not a shepherd. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing, trying to carry a shepherd's staff. They even have the audacity to pick this up and beat the sheep over the head. Instead of caring and nourishing for their souls through the scriptures. Oh, I fear for those individuals when they meet the chief shepherd. There's a true need to be fed the Word of God. And yes, sometimes there is the need to correct with the Word of God. I need correction. You need correction. You know why? Because we're sheep. I love how Paul says that God has given pastors, shepherds. Why? For the equipping. The equipping of the saints. Isn't that cool? As sheep, we get to be called saints too. I love that. We get to be called children. We get to be called saints. But shepherds are to equip with God's word so you can do the work of ministry. There is feeding that needs to be done. And here's some of the things that shepherds are to do. There's constant observation and caring in the feeding, by the way, because sheep are dumb. And I'm speaking to the actual animal real quick, okay? I did not call you dumb. Directly. Okay? But sheep are really stupid animals. I found that out doing 4-H. I did 1 year of it and I'm like, I'm done. This is miserable because God calls me a sheep. I had one lamb that almost died of thirst because I moved the bowl 3 feet. I'm not kidding. Dumb. They will eat things that will kill them. And the shepherd is constantly looking for those good pastures, the fresh water, making sure they don't eat those weeds there, because they will. As a pastor, as a shepherd, there is the constant making sure that you are feeding on the true word of God. I love that Jesus told Peter, tend to my lambs, tend to my sheep, the younger, the older. Minister to them. There are some, pastor, that are going to need milk. There are some that are going to need some really solid meat. Yeah, I'll share that story. It's not in my notes, but when I was preparing to come as the transition into that senior pastor role, I did a candidating message, which was kind of funny because I've been preaching, you know, for quite a while here, but I did a candidating message, and people were very gracious on that Tuesday to come and talk to me about it. The first individual that came and had met me at the church as I arrived said that was a pretty pathetic message. There was no meat in that, and if you're going to be our senior pastor, you better start giving us some meat. Oh, that shot like a dart to the heart. And then around noon, another individual came, and they said, well, that was a nice message, but you have to remember, not all of us are Bible scholars. And that message was way over probably everybody's head in the whole entire church. You have to remember that some of us can't understand some of the things you do, and you need to give us some milk so we can grow and be strengthened. And I'm like, I was really confused. And God let me chew on that throughout the rest of the day. I will tell you, I was really distracted for most of the day on that, just trying to, how could I not give meat, and how could I give only meat? And then as I was leaving, somebody met me as I was driving out, and I'll be honest, I really didn't even want to stop. I was scared. And they said, I'm glad I caught you. You just need to know that the message you shared on Sunday hit right where I was at. They said, thank you. And they drove off, and I sat in the driveway, I don't know how long, for a while, realizing, as your shepherd, my responsibility is to teach you God's word. To preach His word to you. To study, to handle it accurately as I deliver His truth. And I strive to apply it to your life, but I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your hearts through His word. It's my responsibility to give you His word. Sorry, that was not in the notes there, but the next thing there is caring. There's more than feeding. There is caring. Shepherds are to care. And I know we're running just a little bit behind here, but I really want to share my shepherd's heart with you, if that's okay. But there's caring. Checking on the fold. Making sure that their health is good. Knowing them well enough to know their personalities. And if their personality is different, something might be wrong. And the care. Peter stressed the importance of shepherding. And that care aspect is there. Minister to the whole flock as a whole, but also know them well enough that you minister individually. It says the shepherd knows his sheep by name. It took me a little while when I came at first, but knowing someone's name, knowing them. This summer on sabbatical, it was different than my last sabbatical. I came back three different times in ministry. The first time was to minister to the Guchard family with Rob's passing. And what an honor it was as a shepherd to come back and minister. But you know what was so amazing? Was the shepherds that were still present here were engaging and ministering and coming around the family as well. It's not just me. I had the opportunity to do the wedding for Kellen and Cheyenne Jansen. Kellen grew up in our youth group. And what a joy it was to engage in that celebration as a shepherd. There was the vandalism that happened to our building and our vehicle and all of that. By the way, we're supposed to have a window there in probably a couple of weeks. We're moving at the speed of molasses. But there was a care, there was a concern because vandalism had occurred. And coming back for just a little bit with that, but you know what? When I came back, there were already other shepherds that were engaging and ministering and caring for things as I arrived back for that as well. You have shepherds that care about the individual, care about the flock as a whole. And it's sad, some shepherds or pastors, I won't call them shepherds, are only concerned with crowds. That's not a shepherd. Maybe a preacher, but not a shepherd. We find Jesus often ministering to individuals. In John 3, he ministers to Nicodemus. In John 4, he ministers to the woman at the well. Our chief shepherd ministered to individuals. And then there's leading. A herd animal, that's sheep. They do better when they're in a herd. That's how they stay safe. God has given them no ability to defend themselves. Did you know that? They are helpless and hopeless. Unless they stay close together, then the wolves have a hard time picking them out. It's the lamb that wanders off on their own. But they're also given a shepherd. And the shepherd goes out in front. And there's oftentimes the shepherd steps into that dark valley first. And there's many dark valleys the shepherds will walk through in front. It's been said the church needs leaders who serve and servants who lead. That act of leading, stepping out in front, is an act of service. And then there's guiding, the biblical guidance. Shepherds are to know God's word. They're to understand that there are things out there that will lead to harm. And when one of your shepherds, when this shepherd sees that there is something harmful in your way, you better believe I will engage. Remains vigilant to the surrounding dangers, protecting. Church, do you understand the burden of protecting this flock? Paul would charge the elders as he was heading off to Rome. He would say, guard the flock. Why? Because there are predators, there are dangers, there are wolves out there ready to prey on the weak. There's false doctrines, there's doctrines that are being twisted. And church, it's rising up from within. Paul would warn, watch out for the wolves within. And as shepherds, we stand guard. Because if there is someone or something that is going to harm the sheep, you better believe the sling will come out. The rod will be used. Not on the sheep. but the step in between the sheep and the adversary. And as shepherds, we look to our chief shepherd. Man, this has taken longer than I thought. I apologize. I have just a few more things. When we look to the chief shepherd, we understand that one day we will give an account. Peter addressed that. He says, we look forward to his return. We look forward to that and to share in his glory. What a day that will be. But you know what? If he's coming back, that means there's accountability. If he's coming back, then as under shepherds, there is responsibility. And because he's coming back, there needs to be accountability. That's why Peter addressed this to the church as a whole. The writer of Hebrews would share this. I know you thought I was just going to talk about shepherds. That's okay. One verse for you. It's found in Hebrews 13. Saying this to the church, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. There's a responsibility for sheep. There's a responsibility for shepherds. Be subject to one another, Ephesians would say. We're in this together. And those eternal rewards. You know, I believe there was a twofold reason that Peter wrote to the elders in this general letter. First, for accountability amongst the people and the leaders. As leaders, we need to be held accountable to this. I believe also the second reason, so that the church would pray for their leaders. They would go, oh my goodness, our leaders are sheep with the responsibility to shepherd. We need to pray for them. In 1993, I stood terrified as I shared about the Good Shepherd this morning. I stand here honored to be your shepherd. I stand here counting it a privilege to continue sharing with you about the Good Shepherd. It is a true joy. I looked forward to coming back. And I will tell you, there were very few days where you were not on my heart, in my prayers, as I took that sabbatical. I stand here today not as a hired hand, but as an under-shepherd, accountable to the chief shepherd. It was Pastor Appreciation Month, and I was given a mug. And it says, behind every great pastor is an awesome congregation. I keep this on my shelf. I love this. That is absolutely right. This is an amazing congregation, an amazing church family. And church, I love you. I truly do. And I count it as one of the greatest honors to serve as your pastor.
as your shepherd. So thank you. Let's close in prayer. God, wow, what a great church. What amazing people. And God, we are not perfect. God, you know that full well. God, thank you that you love us and care for us, protect us as you